Thank you. Hi, everyone. It's lovely. It's lovely to be here with you again. A blessing as always. And I'm just pleased to report that you have been in our prayers at our prayer meetings on Mondays. And we are thankful to God for everything you're doing here to expand the kingdom, everything you do for the fellowship and everything you do for the local community. May God bless you abundantly and we trust that he is with you in this journey to discern around the pastorate and the guidance going forward, because we do have an amazing God. Not only he saved us for his glory, but as we're going to study this morning, he poured out his Holy Spirit in our lives, and he gives us gifts to serve one another and to serve him and to expand his kingdom. Together, we will worship his name, and we will understand that we have a generous God, an amazing God with amazing plans for us individually and for our churches. So as I understand, you're doing a series on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. It's a very interesting and a very helpful subject. And as we know, these gifts are not human abilities, but they are gracious gifts from God through the Holy Spirit, for the building of his church, for the building up of his people, and for the advancement of his kingdom. That is the purpose of the gifts of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And the focus this morning is on three gifts, as Paul highlights in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Three gifts for this morning to reflect and pray and think is the gift of faith, the gift of miraculous powers, and the gift of healing. These are amazing promises here in the Word of God. But I thought before we unpack these gifts and before we explore them in a bit more detail, I thought it may be useful to look at the framework that Apostle Paul gives us in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And you probably touched on this during the introduction or introductory sessions that you had. But I thought it's always helpful to remember and to recap what is the framework, what Paul is trying to tell us here. So I'll read again 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 to 12. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Holy Spirit a message of wisdom, to another, a message of knowledge, by means of the same Spirit, to another, faith, by the same Spirit, to another, gift of healing, by that one Spirit, to another, miraculous powers, to another, prophecy, to another, distinguishing between spirits, to another, speaking in different kinds of tongues, and still to another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one, just as he determines. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. So Apostle Paul reminds us here that the Spirit is the source of all gifts in our lives. And he also warns us not to be ignorant or carried away by false ideas of spirituality. You know, when God gives us something precious, like the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the enemy often tries to introduce doubt and confusion to deceive us. Even as we know, with the clear teaching of our salvation through Christ alone, through faith alone, there have been many mistaken doctrines about this topic. Why? Because it is so important for our lives, and the enemy knows that. Think of thieves, for example, when they counterfeit art, let's say, right? They will look to counterfeit something very expensive. Nobody's going to copy my paintings because they are rubbish. They value nothing. But even now in the world, there are fake paintings of Picasso or Van Gogh. Why? Because they are so expensive. And it's the same today The enemy tries to imitate and attack what is valuable in our Christian lives. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are central to the life of the church. And because of their value, the enemy is sowing confusion in people's minds, sparking debates about them through the history of the church, as we know. And this happened in Corinth, apparently, and hence Paul was trying to clarify, to give them this framework of understanding the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And before we explore this interesting theme, it's worth mentioning one of the most important principles in our spiritual life, a principle that our Lord Jesus Christ gave us himself. For example, in Luke chapter 9, verses 1 to 10, He, Jesus, called the 12 together and gave them power and authority over all the demons and to heal diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to perform healing. Later, Jesus sent out the 70 of his followers on a similar mission. They returned with joy, saying, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." And this is what our Lord Jesus Christ told them. But Jesus lovingly corrected them and said, "Do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are recorded in heaven." So no matter what gifts the Spirit has given you, the greatest joy of your life is not the gift itself, it's the giver. It's God, our Lord, through Jesus Christ. The greatest reason to rejoice is not how God is using us, but the greatest reason to rejoice is that we belong to him and that our names are written in heaven. Amen. So this is such an important principle of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's basically saying to the disciples then, don't be demon-centered, don't be self-centered, be God-centered, be kingdom-centered, be ministry-centered, to minister to others through the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And when we learn to exercise authority over the darkness kingdom in our lives, we sometimes may be tempted to see ourselves as kind of some spiritual heroes or like freedom figures. But let's remember that is the truth in our Lord Jesus Christ that sets us free. The truth of who he is, the truth of what he's done in our lives. And we are called to turn on the light, indeed, in this world and share the good news with other people. So I just wanted to highlight that key principle when we are talking about our spiritual life, because the gifts of the Spirit, as we know, they are not diplomas or trophies or spiritual successes. They are treasures of grace. And if it's called a gift, it's a gift. It is not from us, it is given to us. And because of that, we must guard our hearts against pride or against comparison, against, you know, the enemy who will love to twist God's gifts into division, distraction, as it happened in Corinth. And I think the church in Corinth stumbled here in this aspect. They began to brag about who had the greater gift, forgetting that the gifts are not about status. They are about service. Service to one another. And the same temptation can still show up today in our lives. So as we walk through the gifts of the Holy Spirit, let's keep this truth at the center. Our identity is not in the gift. It is in the Savior, Jesus Christ, who will give us the gift through the Holy Spirit. So let's explore these three gifts together this morning. First is the gift of faith. And this gift of faith in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is not that sort of the faith that gives us salvation that Paul is referring to here. It's not that ordinary, if you like, faith that gives us forgiveness of our sins. It seems to be a supernatural gift of faith from God. In a moment of need, like think of Peter when he stepped out of the boat. And walked on the water. That was a supernatural faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, as we find in Matthew chapter 14. That was a spirit-given faith for Peter, wasn't it? He looked at our Lord Jesus Christ, and in faith, he stepped on the water. Wow, that is an amazing miracle and an amazing faith. And then we look in Acts chapter 3, Peter and John before the lame beggar as well. I think our brother read this morning when Peter declares, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." So that was the gift of faith in action as well as healing. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. And in our church history, we also see examples of this amazing faith. If we remember George Mueller, you could look him up online. He looked and cared for thousands of orphans in England in the 19th century. And he never asked for donations. He only prayed and he had faith. And time again, God provided food, shelter, and resources for all those orphans they were looking after. Now, this is a radical life of faith, isn't it? To look after other people, trusting the Lord that he will provide. So the gift of faith is that God's given a strength to trust him beyond human reasoning, right? And then moving on to the gift of healing, and I think the gift of healing and the gift of faith, they both go hand in hand, as we will see some of the examples that I thought would be useful for us this morning. And Paul's is interesting. Paul speaks not of a single gift of healing, but in the text it says gifts of healings, suggesting that the Spirit brings healing in many forms through many people and at different times. Sometimes healing can be physical healing from a disease, or sometimes can be emotional or spiritual healing. And nowadays, as we know, in this modern world and stressful world, lots of people, many of us, suffer from mental health issues. And the gift of healing has power in this area as well, to give us healing from our mental health. But in every case, the purpose is the same, to reveal the compassion and the power of Jesus Christ. And as a joke, I'm not sure if it's true or not, but it says that in a Christian doctor office, there was a big poster, and the poster was saying, "God does the healing, I charge the money." You know? Because even when we go to NHS and the medics and the hospital, sometimes they could do everything in their power, you know, with the right intentions, with love and care. But let's remember, it's always God who does the healing. In our amazing bodies, the way he created us, through the hands of the medic, through the hands of the nurse, but it's still God who does the healing. So the truth is for us, it's always Jesus who heals. We are channels of his mercy that healing can occur in other people. So we are just the gift bearer, but the healer is our Lord Jesus Christ. And then, thinking of healing and faith, how much faith do you need? Well, the Bible says that even faith the size of a mustard seed can move the mountains. So I think that could be a wrong question. You know, how much faith do I need? Just faith in Jesus should be enough. And even a mustard seed can grow into a great tree, as we read in Matthew 13. So let's be confident that God can do miracles in our lives. And let's look at three examples of faith and healing in the scripture. The first one is the woman with the issue of bleeding, as we read in three of the Gospels, Matthew 9, Luke 8, and Mark 5. It says here, a large crowd followed and pressured around Jesus, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately, her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. And Jesus turned and said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." This is an amazing example. And we see First, she trusted and put her faith in doctors, and actually her situation got worse. And then she thought, maybe if I put my faith in Jesus, things will change. And they did indeed. She was healed in public so everyone could see. But initially, we read in the text, she wanted to be unnoticed, so not to disturb anyone. Maybe she was afraid because she was unclean. And maybe she was worried about the crowds. And I was thinking as I prepared this message, you know, that sort of people have fear of speaking in public, or social anxiety, as we call it this day. And maybe Jesus healed her of social anxiety as well in that public space where kind of he forced her to speak up and speak about what happened in her life. We see this amazing healing that happened in this woman because of her faith. And then we have the example with the friends who lowered their friend through the ceiling. In Luke chapter 5, we read, while Jesus was teaching, some men brought a paralyzed friend to him. Unable to get through the crowd, they lowered the man through the roof. And in verse 20, we read, when Jesus saw their faith, he said, friend, your sins are forgiven. And then our Lord Jesus, as we know, provided that healing, amazing healing. Now, the question is, who has faith in that situation? We don't know if the paralyzed man had faith. And it's important to surround ourselves with people of faith, right? Like here at King's, surrounded by people of faith, people that can pray for you. We see in verse 20, when Jesus saw their faith. So, you know, we can believe that God can heal others through our faith if we pray for them. And praying for others is important, and it's part of our spiritual life. And even when we can't pray for different reasons, we can ask our friends to pray for us, as we see in the story. And then is the faith of the centurion in Matthew chapter 8, verses 5-13. When Jesus has entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him asking for help. Lord, he said, my servant lies at home paralyzed, suffering terribly. Jesus said to him, shall I come and heal him? The centurion replied, Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes. And that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed and said to those following him, truly I tell you, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. Then Jesus said to the centurion, go, let it be done as you just said, as you believed it would. And his servant was healed in that moment. Wow. You see, this person wasn't even a Jew. He was an enemy, if you like, of the people. He was a part of the Roman army, a soldier. He doesn't even think he deserves to have Jesus in his house. And this person has faith that Jesus can heal his servant from a distance. That is an amazing faith that we see here. So even nowadays, we can't see physically God at work in our lives, but we know his spirit is here with each and everyone. And he has the power to give us the gifts of healing, the gifts of miracles, and the gifts of faith. This man hadn't even heard about the works of the Holy Spirit or too much about Jesus, but he knew Jesus had authority. He had that faith in his heart. So why these three examples? We see the woman's own faith brought her healing. So that is important to know. Our faith, our prayers brings us healing. So she had faith even if she was unclean. Even if she was, but the society would categorize her as not being part of the society back then. And then thinking of the paralyzed man, did he have faith? We don't know. We don't know. But his friends did. So praying for one another, encouraging one another in faith, it is so important. And then did the servant that was healed have faith? We don't even know him. But his friend, his master, if you like, had faith. So we see God can heal in different ways. There is no receipt, if you like. There is no formula. And that is, I think, amazing. And we know other examples when Jesus made mud and put in someone's eyes. So this shows us that God can heal in different ways. Earth he pleases. Earth he sees fit in that moment. So what we learn from these stories is that you are not so unclean that God cannot work in your life. Let's remember that. God can work a miracle in your life as well. And you don't have to have big, great faith, you know, as we've seen in these examples. Ask for prayer for your friends if sometimes you find it hard to pray. And if you feel like nobody is on your side, probably like the centurion, just remember our Lord Jesus Christ is always by your side. And he always has amazing plans for you. And moving on for gifts of miraculous powers, I'm sure we all at some point in our lives have seen miraculous things happening without, for which we have no explanation. And I still remember one event in my life when our boys were little. I think Jon was about 6 and Luca must have been about 3 years old. We still can't explain it. We believe that was a miracle. They were both in a room, and in a corner we had like a chest of drawers with big drawers, very heavy. And on top of that, we had a very big TV, like an old one, an old-fashioned one, very heavy, you know, big at the back. And, you know, if that fall on your feet, you will definitely be hurt or something would happen. And Lucas, he was the youngest, he would always follow Jon everywhere. So they were, like, very close to each other, and they were both close to that big TV chest of drawer. And there was a wall here, so and they were both on this side. So the TV fall from that place, and I don't know how, not even a scratch on any of them. And the TV was like really close to the wall. So we believe that was a miracle. An angel, we don't know, but definitely that was a miracle. The TV was all down, fall to the ground, but the boys had nothing at all. So that was just an example, the miraculous powers that we see in God's ministry to us. And the Greek word for miracles is actually dynamis, which means like dynamite, right? So it's an act of power from God. And these are extraordinary interventions that defy natural explanations. See, like when our Lord Jesus Christ calmed the storm in Matthew 4, or feeding the 5,000. Or the outpouring of tongues at Pentecost in Acts 2. So these are amazing events for which we don't have a scientific explanation, if you like. And to learn as well that these miracles are never for show. They were never to show off. But there are signs pointing to Jesus and revealing his lordship, breaking into the natural order to show who he is, that he is the Son of God. So these miraculous events are not under human control, but they happen as the Spirit wills. Think of it as a pilot takes control of a plane, just overriding the autopilot mode, right? That's in the same way the Holy Spirit would come in our lives and just overriding for a while the natural laws that we see around us. So with God, everything is possible. Having said all of that, just thinking back to the chapter in Corinthians, it's important to understand that there is unity and diversity in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. There are many gifts, many ministries, many activities, as we read, but it is the same Spirit. And no one, praise the Lord, has all the gifts because we need each other. Amen? We need each other. And the gifts are given to bless others and not to elevate ourselves. Not for personal gain, as we've seen some examples in the book of Acts. Someone thought, oh, if I, you know, have these gifts, maybe I'll make a good living. Not for personal gain, not for pride. They are building up the church and expanding the kingdom. So we need discernment as well, as you probably will touch on this. Not every spiritual manifestation is from God, as Paul says in the text. And the test of true gifts is this: do they glorify Jesus? Do they point to Jesus Christ? Do they point to the truth of the scriptures as we see them? And then there is purpose. Gifts are given for the profit of all, we read in verse 7. So they are not for private enjoyment, if you like. They are tools for serving others, for public service. And Paul insists that they are for the common good of the fellowship and of the people around us. And then we need to understand God's sovereignty in distributing these gifts. They are distributed as he wills in verse 11, not as we will, not as we plan, but according to his wisdom. And, you know, his wisdom is sometimes different than ours. And then one point to highlight as well is character versus giftedness, which I think it's important as well. Because gifts are not proof necessary of spiritual maturity. Someone may be remarkably gifted, but still spiritually immature. And that is why Paul insists that leadership is based not on gifts, but on character, if we read in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and in Titus chapter 1. So that is important element as well. The character in us, the fruits of the Holy Spirit as well, which is a different theme, is very important for us as Christians. And Paul finishes the chapter with the picture of the body of Christ. Each member, of course, has a role. Not everyone will work miracles, not everyone will heal, not everyone will speak in tongues, and not everyone will interpret the tongues. And the beauty of the body, it is its diversity. We are all different, and unity comes from our Lord Jesus Christ as one body. He gives those gifts to minister to one another. But indeed, Paul says, eagerly desire these gifts for service, to have them in your Christian life. But he then continues and says, yet I will show you the most excellent way, and that way is love. Because gifts without love are empty containers. So love is the substance of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, some of the practical application before we reach our conclusion. So how do we respond to all this teaching? First of all, let's be open to the gifts of the Spirit. They are still available for us. And let's not be ignorant or dismissive of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but eagerly desire spiritual gifts, as God will use us in his ministry in different ways. And then pray with bold faith to have those gifts. You know, when you encounter sickness or brokenness or impossible situation, pray, step out in faith. Trust the Holy Spirit that he will break through. And then stay Christ-centered. Remember, the purpose of the gifts is not to amaze others or to confuse, but to glorify Jesus and build his character in us. And then I like this one, encourage testimonies. Share stories of how God works and worked in your life. Because your story, God's miracles in your life will build others' people in their faith. And then trust God's sovereignty. You know, not every prayer results in healing. Not every miracle we long for will happen. But we don't stop asking. We trust God's will and his power in our lives, and we will keep walking in faith. And then pursue maturity in Christ. Gifts are wonderful, but character is essential. Desire gifts, yes, but also desire Christ-likeness even more. Amen. So in conclusion, Jesus Christ, our Lord, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The gifts of faith, miracles, and healing are not relics of the past. They are manifestations of the Holy Spirit given today for the building up of the church and the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. They are given as he wills, and our part is to remain open, to ask, to pray, walk in love, pray with boldness, and always follow Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. The Spirit is still at work. And the question is, will we be open to the Holy Spirit this morning? And I believe in a God of wonders, that he works miracles He passed the seas, he moved the mountains, he raises the dead. But even greater than his power is his very nature, who he is. The Bible describes God as love. He is love. And let's remember, his wisdom surpasses our wisdom. And that's why I trust him. Even when I pray for healing for my son and I don't see it happening, I still trust the Lord because he loves me. He never fails me. He saved us from this world, from our sinful nature. And the greatest miracle of all, actually, it is our salvation. Something that we could never achieve, our Lord Jesus Christ achieved on the cross. We are forgiven, and the miracle is that sinners like us can one day be with the Lord in heaven, and our names are written in the Lamb's book of life. So the greatest miracle of all, it is our salvation. And like Jesus refocused his disciple, more importantly, to rejoice that their names were written in heaven. This is what we are called to do in our Christian lives. And even if sometimes healing does not occur, or if death claims people that we love, as it happened with my dear friend who passed away from cancer, although we pray for them, I will still trust the Lord. Because the Lord Jesus Christ, who raised people from the dead, one day will raise us from the dead, and he will give us everlasting life. Amen? I mean, Lazarus was raised from the dead, but at some point he still died, right? So the greatest miracle is that our Lord Jesus Christ promised this everlasting life for you and for me. So our eternal home is not here. It is in heaven, where actually the Lord Jesus says he's there to prepare a mansion that wherever he is, we will be with him forever. So this is the God we trust. And like Job, we can always say, the Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. So God bless us all this morning. Let's open our hearts, our minds, and ask to receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit in faith. However God sees us fit, however God is calling us in the church, in the ministry. And so help us, God, to stay open and focus on him our entire lives. In Jesus' name, amen. So let me just close with a prayer. Father God, we just want to thank you for who you are, Lord. Thank you for what you have done in our lives. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for our salvation. Thank you for our forgiveness, Lord. Thank you that you achieved for us the impossible, the forgiveness of our sins, and eternal life in your presence in the kingdom of God. But Father, until then, please open our hearts and minds to ask and to be open to the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So Father, as we are standing here this morning, help us to be bold in our faith, to Father, to seek the gifts of the Holy Spirit, to ask ourselves, what is the gift that God, through the Holy Spirit, gave me for the ministry and service of others? And Father, help us to use those gifts for your glory, to minister to others, and to show our love for one another, through which people will realize that we are your children. So Father, I'm praying for everyone in this place, that you will bless us, Father, with the gifts of the Holy Spirit, as you see fit. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. God bless you all. Thank you for listening.